Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Of course, that means Andy and Bob are back in. And before we get going, guys, let's announce the Ask Ross winner. It was Tom. Tom asked Ross if he would be just like the recent Harvard transfer, Eric Wilson, an offensive lineman from the Ivy League. And Ross said yes. If he had the same kind of opportunity, he would have given Joe Pa a call and see if he can make himself into a Nittany Lion. Guys, quarter number four, that means we're continuing our series based on Bob's article. 21 for 21, 21 items for Penn State's 2021 season. We have raced through a total of four of your items in our first 2 weeks, Bob. So that means, if my math is correct, that means we're up to number five. And number five on your list is to maximize spring practice. I'm guessing this has a lot to do with some new coaches in tow.
Yeah, so especially with the new offensive coordinator, and really that would make it three offensive coordinators in 3 years and some, with a four in 5 years. So there's been a lot of turnover there. You look at some of the new coaches entering their second year. They still haven't had their first spring. I think especially this year, as we talked about it a little bit earlier with spring, there is going to be a spring. Even if it's just on-field walkthroughs, not a lot of contact, I think walkthroughs are invaluable, for college kids trying to get up to speed, especially young players. And when I think about the coaches who could probably benefit the most from maybe spring practice, a guy like John Scott, who has really got to rebuild his defensive line other than P.J. Mustipher inside. No Shelton, no Shaka Tony, no Jason Owe. Shane Simmons, he had a couple of good games there late. But they just have to, and they're losing, Judge Culpepper in the transfer portal. They've lost a lot of guys. They have to identify some of the better players, who's best suited to start, who's best suited to be rotational players, even if it's walkthroughs. The teaching aspect, I think, is huge. Even a guy like Taylor Stubblefield, yeah, it's great that Jahan Dotson's coming back, and it's great that they have Parker Washington, but they have to get some more young wideouts, up to speed. They're not, TJ Jones isn't around anymore. He's in the portal. John Dunmore didn't work out last year. It can't just be Keandre Lambert Smith. They got to get some guys. They got to be able to trust four or five guys to play. And the third receiver that's on the field with Washington and Dotson, he's got to be able to contribute. So I just think they really, now that they know there's going to be some semblance of spring practice, not having had it last year, they got to figure out a way to identify some talent, to develop some talent, so that they go into summer camp with a better idea of kind of what they have coming back.
Andy, I've got to think that with a new offensive coordinator, and it's not just a new OC, it's James Franklin has established, essentially, he was not happy with the way the offense was run a year ago. It has to be run differently. So for Mike Yurcich, this has got to be huge, his spring.
Yeah, that's, you know, to a degree, I'll say that's the easy to focus on is Bob said it. This will be the third offensive coordinator in 3 years. But I still think it's the position coaches, right? You have to put the offense in, but I agree with him. It's like the wide receivers and the defensive line. Like, those are the same two that I thought this is really important for them because they have to get some talent development re-going again in order to sort of, you know, keep the standard up per se. You know, I mean, all you could do during the season and with the limitations that you had was you had to take what you had and try and make it work, right? You weren't really doing a lot of development and you weren't able to do a lot of development. So it's the player development aspect of it. Yes, the offense and the offensive coordinator and Mike getting the offense put in and making it look different and keeping James happy. That's important. But the flip side of it is it's the individual position, talent development that might start showing up on the field if they can't, you know, get this going and have spring practice.
Yeah, and just real quick, guys, you know, James Franklin stressed it, you know, a couple of Mondays ago at his wrap-up. You know, one thing I think that Mike Yurcich could, no matter how spring practice looks, I think James Franklin made it very clear. Jim, you're right. I think he knew right away. He did not like the look of Kirk Shiraka's offense. Specifically, I think spring would be ideal. They need to get back to using tempo as a weapon. They need to play faster on offense. They need to go faster, put more stress on the defense, as well as spreading the ball around. Tempo, I think that is something that I think you could see Mike Yurcich during spring, you know, get that back into the Penn State offense. Because when they were going good in 16 and 17, you saw them play with tempo, and I think it caused problems, for defenses.
I also think when you're talking tempo, that's definitely something you're not going to work on in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
That's something you have to be on the field to make that happen. Okay, Bob, let's go on to your next item in the list. And this one's kind of interesting to me. And often you think in terms of you identify a team's weaknesses, what do we have to work on? But you actually are putting out there one of their items they need to do is they need to identify their strengths. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I think when you're coming off a 4-5 year with an 0-5 start and you just changed your offensive coordinator, you have to I think, you know, it's not a rebuild because I think James feels good about a lot of the talent he has coming back. But it's got to be about priority. So what do you feel best about coming out of spring? So the rest of the offseason, your focus, you know, has to be, you know, other positions. And you look at this Penn State team, and when you look about potential strengths, I don't know that the fan base would agree with me because they've had issues the last 2 years. But if you assume good health at the cornerback position, with the decision by Tariq Castro-Fields to come back, assuming it's a big assumption, good health, Joey Porter, another year on the field. I think everyone liked what they saw from him the first year. Keaton Ellis was not healthy last year, but when he did play, I thought he looked to me like a player that could really help Penn State, even if it's in a reserve role. Daquan Hardy, I thought, did some good things from the slot position. I haven't even mentioned Marquise Wilson. You know, if John Dixon, the South Carolina transfer portal guy, can play, that now we're talking about a lot of corners. And if you feel like corner could be a strength, you know, there are some athletic guys in that corner room. And if you don't feel great about your safety position, I could see for another year a player on the move to maybe to the safety position. A guy like Keaton Ellis, you just wonder if maybe his all-around athleticism, maybe he could play more at safety if you feel that good about your corners. And just one more thing in terms of strength. I don't know that I would say running back is a strength, but, man, if they can get Noah Cain healthy and those guys all come back, I think that's a strength as well. And I think, you know, the Harvard addition in the transfer portal with four guys they feel good about coming back, I might say offensive line again is a strength, and they probably don't really. I think they feel much better about tight end, even though they lose a player as good as Pat Freiermuth.
Andy, when Bob talks about those couple areas of strength, that running back and cornerback, I find it interesting, both those positions. A year ago, we were probably saying the same thing about running back, and I know a lot of crazy stuff, crazy type of injuries and medical issues. It wasn't so much a strength after that. Cornerback, you still have to, beyond just the numbers, the quantity there, it's also how you're going to use them. Is it when you go to a nickel, is it an extra cornerback or an extra safety? And also at the safety position, can you take, like Bob said, one of these, or at least one of these cornerbacks, and make them a safety? What do you think?
So I think in identifying the strengths, yep, you have an idea of where your developed talent is, right? And Bob talked about it, and you're right. And maybe you can move Keaton Ellis to a safety. But I think in identifying your strengths, the flip side of it is you have to know what your weaknesses are from that. Like, maybe you think the defensive backfield is a strength, right? With Jaquan Brisker coming back and all the corners. But is it really a strength with an open hole like that? Can you fill that open hole? You know, you have to be realistic about what is a strength. We haven't even talked about linebackers, right? Is the linebacking core, could it be identified as a strength? I still think the running back position is definitely a strength as well. I think John Lovett is a starting running back. I think he will compete for the starting running back, even with a healthy Noah Kane. And I think both of those freshmen were forced to prove that they have some chops. So I think it's identifying your strengths, but it's also more about making sure you understand and accept what your weaknesses are at the same time.
Yeah, guys, I would just say I don't know how you could characterize linebacker as a strength based on what we saw last year when they played good teams.
Good point.
A couple of those guys really looked lost. I feel good about Brandon Smith, but even he, consistency, you know, is an issue with him. I think linebacker is one of the more interesting offseason positions because I'm just not sure how good this group is and how good it can be.
I believe we all looked at their press clippings going into last season, seeing 4- and 5-star kind of players and thought, hey, they're going to develop. They're going to be the guys there at linebacker U. And they showed, hopefully it was just youth and inexperience, which, by the way, can be cured. That is it for the show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KSN. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.